I really enjoyed that the last episode. I listened to it on my drive. I actually listened to what was the one before that too? 42 and 43? I listened to both of them on the drive. And they turned out pretty good, I have to say. Drunk Wesley is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my favorites.
You just needed some spicy townsfolk.
Spicy.
Oh, well, oh, you got him, buddy. You got those townsfolk good.
I just wanted to, you know, keep the recurring theme of, like, town meeting centers burning down.
Listeners have been writing in asking where to send you bottles of Fireball whiskey.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, have they? Have they really?
Well, I have to say, I enjoyed the episodes as well, and I just want to say, much like those 36 townsfolk, well done.
Hey-o.
That's awful.
How long were you working on that one?
I got to bed around 2, 2:30.
Oh, man. That's some fucking some Mitch Hedberg comedy right there. Is that Mitch Hedberg over there? No, it is fucking John.
Yes, it is.
Is that Mitch Hedberg fucking John?
Whoa.
I sent Ryan this super adorable video of me driving, or I thought it was adorable. Ryan can form his own opinion, but through this valley that I thought was perfectly cinematic for one of our battles to take place in. So totes adorbs. Maybe I should I post that one to Painfully Country?
Of course.
I mean, I'd like to see it, yeah.
Oh, you guys want to see it? All right, here, I'll throw it. Give me a sec.
I appreciate that you sent it just to me, but, you know, I don't deserve to hog this all to myself. Share this with the world. Well, patrons, at least.
Well, you're my boy. You're my road dog. You're my... It makes me feel like I'm not riding solo, Ryan. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, look at this... Look at this beauty of me driving down the road, swearing at potholes. I was listening to a podcast, and I was like, all right, I'm done with that. And I switched it over to the radio, and Pink Floyd Money was playing, and I was like, oh, perfect timing. And so I took that video.
I seen it. Man. It has been a whole 4 days since Ozel left.
Who?
And you've met Ezekiel Kane. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Is that all?
A whole 4 days.
Yeah. Or I think today is the 10th, and you met Zeke on the 5th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Or no, Ozel left on the 5th. They met him the day of Morast.
He left, yeah, late night on the 5th. Early mornings, 6th, you met Zeke. Then 3 days of trial, and now it's the day after. You got the beast exonerated. You, I don't know if quelled is the right word. But you put a stop to a riotous mob of angry townsfolk. Landed yourselves in jail. Stormak took all your weapons, went to stay the night at the Temple of Torag, where he had a little encounter of his own. A monstrous, magical beast burrowed out of the ground and attacked, only to retreat after taking a bit of a beating.
Falcon Wolf, you told me I was your hero. I no longer trust you, bro. I mean...
It's alright, I bit him in half.
That's cool.
Judge Embrith Deramid, a old friend of Professor Lorimer's, who you had delivered some books to, and who had hired you to give the beast a fair trial.
Tim.
The title of the book is called Trial of the Beast, and so I'm with you.
Where did Tim come from? Where did the name Tim come from?
I think we gave it to him.
I think I made it up on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
All throughout the book, he's just referred to as the Beast.
Yeah, he doesn't have a name in the book.
To be fair, it was a Monty Python bit that you scalped.
Yeah, they call me Jim.
Yeah, that is... that's fair. As are all of my bits, I'm sure, somehow. But she told Stormak that she might have some friends in high places that could get your friends out of trouble and avoid a trial, which she didn't think would go very well for you guys.
High places? She's a judge. How much higher can you get?
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
She also talked to Zeke about a secret society of powerful people. I'm just trying to decide how to open up.
You're in a safe place, John. You're among friends.
Yeah. Let down your guard.
What is that? Is that from something?
Yes, I've got the wrong audience here. It's from Frozen.
Oh, God.
It sounds like you're saying it to the tune of opening a chest in Zelda. Let down your guard.
It's very close, but no, in Frozen 2, there is a...
They made a second one?
Yeah, there's a beautiful musical number by the one male cast member.
Is it really?
That is a, like, it's a love letter to,
Zelda?
No, like, classic rock ballads.
That sounds awful.
No, there's, like, Queen references in there and stuff. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Look it up. It's called Lost in the Woods.
Yeah, I mean...
I refuse.
That's... We are definitely the wrong audience for that, and I'm not really sure who is. Good job.
I love Disney and musicals, but Frozen was terrible.
No, you guys are missing out. Oh my god. I don't care if you watch it or not, I'm putting it in the chat so you can look at it.
I'm leaving this Discord. You also, another note, Tim, now a free man, has been escorted out of town in the dark of night as to avoid any other hostilities and set free. He mentioned that he was going to see his father and that he hoped to see you all again soon. I guess why don't we pick it up with Stormak. Back in Temple of Torag, still on the evening of Gozran the Ninth, still the last day of the trial, Stormak, Daisy, and Father Bolin Proudspark reeling from this attack from this creature.
All right, looking at this map, there are two other dwarves that fought in this, and then there's a third dwarf who died in this fight.
Yes. The other two dwarves, you dug one out from the rubble from where the boule had burrowed down and escaped, and they probably run over to tend to their fallen brother. Father Bolin has shrunk back down to size. You probably will before too long as well.
Is Stormak shocked at all of this? He thought that he was cursed by ghosts and such. He thought that perhaps... Well, honestly, did he think that the boule was cursed? No, I think that I thought that. We thought that.
Yeah.
But now he must make the connection. He's seen a bunch of haunts, and even in his backstory, in his childhood, he... experienced that kind of thing. So having the boule statue in his pocket, having it imbue him with powers that he feels, and then having this boule come out of nowhere, he's got to think there's a connection. But he's currently thinking about death and loss and this dwarf before him here, and he like rushes over to these two dwarves who are with their fallen friend. I don't know. He takes a knee or takes a moment.
Takes a knee.
Ah, it's a terrible tragedy. I've never seen such a beast.
I feel responsible.
Why would you say that?
Well, this here. And he once again produces the statuette.
I just found this last night, and it is full of magic. It must have summoned the beast, but not in the ways that wizards do, in a foul way. It does bear a striking resemblance. It must be cursed, Father. Well, please do not feel responsible. This is not by your doing, simply a circumstance. A circumstance that would not have occurred in this place to this man had it not been for me. I can't stay here. I wish to, but I can't endanger the temple, our brothers.
I understand.
Stormax stands there. He stands up. He's at half hit points. He's just beat up from the past couple days. He takes a deep breath, lets out a heavy sigh, and the 100 platinum pieces that he just received from the judge. He says,
Father, please use this money towards something good.
Damn, dog.
Whoa.
This is very generous of you.
Just handing that over, all right.
There goes our wand to cure light.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely sure, Father.
Very well. This will absolutely be put to good use. Snorbag here will get a beautiful funeral.
Edit.
What?
No. The one that died? Snorbag. Oh.
No.
All right, Meg, give me a dwarf name.
The worst.
Bullock Button Willow.
There you go.
No dwarf would have the name Button Willow. No halfling would even have that name.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's your next character then, bro. Button Willow?
These are all terrible. This generator sucks. Okay, hold on.
It's a town I drive by on the 5. I look at that town every time I drive by, and I'll be like, my next character will be Colingua Button Willow.
Here we go. Gamlin Grandhammer.
Gamlin. That's not bad. Yeah, I'm on the same generator, probably. It does suck.
I like the fantasy name generator. Come on.
Yeah, I went to a different one.
Oh, no. The fantasynamegenerators.com has everything. Has every different type of thing.
No. Yeah, usually that's great. But for some reason, all I'm getting are like Nustoic Hard Flayer, Bernawath Deep Braid, Aura Deer. Like, what the fuck?
What about this? Nostril Mine Horn.
Yeah, no, these are terrible.
Snag Hog Drake View. Okay. Snag Hog's pretty good.
Poor Snag Hog.
Oh, dear.
Ah,
Thanrin. Please go inform his family, if you will.
And Thamrin looks down, sad, nods, and runs off.
Where will you go, Stormak? What will you do?
He looks down at his feet, and then he reaches over and pets Daisy. He says,
I don't know, Father. What do you think of this? And he holds out the God's damned cursed Boule statue.
He knew it was coming.
He's holding it in his palm, looking at it.
Let me take a look.
Boule comes back.
Do you hand it to him?
Stormak's just holding it in his open palm. If the father wants to take it from him, he could, but I don't know. Stormak feels like it's his curse to carry, you know? So He's not going to like snatch it away, but he's not really like offering it over to him. He's showing it to him. Look at it as close as he wants.
And he will inspect it and perhaps attempt to identify it. And
you don't have to roll real dice. You can just say that he aces his checks.
I mean, he literally rolled a natural 20.
Nice, yeah. Totally, he did.
Yes, this is a powerful item indeed. It does appear to be cursed in some manner. I believe this creature may plague you until it is defeated.
When I struck it, Father, I felt like I did nothing to it. I hit pretty hard, you know.
It's a good thing I was here.
Good thing I was here.
He did most of the damage to it.
If you must, stay away from here until you have dealt with this thing.
I should leave the city. I can't risk this creature attacking. He just shakes his head. Where should I take this thing?
Clenches his fist around it. Like he's just pissed at it.
Roll me a d4 real quick.
Crushing damage? Sweet.
Yeah.
That's a 4 on the d4.
So, he will explain to you the details behind this curse. And I have modified it a little bit so you didn't die.
Yeah, what's up with the d4?
So, once it is attuned for the first time per person, the boule will attack, an advanced boule. And I modified it a little bit because it is a little overpowered for you at the moment. Essentially, I made it so as soon as it attuned, the boule shows up and it will retreat after you do 25% of its hit points and damage and return a d4 days later.
I see.
Now, this item cannot be unattuned or removed from your person.
Okay.
Without a level 9 casting of Remove Curse or Dispel Magic and a DC 30 caster check, failure of this check spawns one boule, plus an additional boule for every 10 below 30.
Jesus Christ.
That the check fails.
Falcon Wolf, thank you for your patronage.
He give you a quest item that you can't drop. It's in your inventory forever until you complete the quest.
So he tells you that
it will take very powerful magic to remove this item from you. And I fear this creature will return in the next few days until it is defeated. If you can overcome this challenge, the power of this statuette will be yours, with no further ill comings.
Stormak is stroking his beard and shaking his head, and he's just stressing on this.
I believe in you, Stormak. The All-Father watches over you.
Stormak goes to this nearby table and takes his backpack off and sets it down, goes into the backpack and starts pulling things out.
This crossbow was built in Yanderhof.
And he puts it on the table. He takes out multiple bags of gold, just starts stacking them up. It's like another 1,500 gold.
What is this?
I don't think I'll be needing this. Please.
What?
You have that little faith in yourself, my friend.
The family of that man, a dwarf, and the families of the townsfolk who died tonight. They could use your help, Father, and I know that this gold will be of help.
And he's like struggling to get the words out. He packs his bag back up and shoulders it.
I must check on my friends. I appreciate your offer for dinner and for lodging, but I don't know when this creature will come again, and I should be on the move.
1d4 days, man, he told you.
Wait, did he tell me that, John, or did you tell me that?
He said it in the next few days.
So I don't know that it's one day.
Yeah, but he believes that you'll be safe for the night.
I see, I see. He perhaps has that explained to him again, and he kind of like leans on something and just almost collapses. Again, he's at half hit points, and he's just like, I'll stay the night.
Please, you must eat and recover. Here, it's the least I can do.
And he will channel several times. You know, let's just say he channels until you and Daisy are back up to full.
Awesome.
Yay! She was less than half health.
Bloody Daisy. And he will feed you and give you lodging, and perhaps you can regale him with the tales of your recent adventures, and we'll cut to the courthouse. In the jail cells, in the morning, unless there's any dialogue you guys want in the evening.
Do you want any dialogue in the evening?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't think Flora's gonna probably, you know, give Sid a mom lecture at some point, but
what,
now
for
is not the time.
Cooking 36 people? I mean, I'm into it.
Sid did nothing wrong.
So I understand you were angry, and it's important to express our big feelings, but when we hurt other people...
People were gonna likely kill every one of us.
She's just baiting you, Wes.
Sorry, that was out of character. I was just being funny.
Yeah, Ezekiel Cain probably gets delivered back to the cell, and he isn't wearing his tabard. He's not wearing his tabard.
Yeah, maybe they pick up on that. Maybe not.
Or maybe they don't. Morning time.
When the morning comes, a couple guards come down and they clang their halberd on the bars of the cells. All right, get up. Turns out you're all free to go.
Great. All right, bye.
Unexpected, but okay, bye.
Yeah, Flora starts pulling. Let's just go. Great, thanks.
Seems you've got some friends in high places. Lucky you.
Anything higher in this dungeon, I guess.
And they just kind of step out of the way, and you are free to leave.
Yep, let's go. Before they change their minds.
I'm just kidding.
No!
What do you do?
Go home. We got asleep, yeah?
Yeah. You get your night's rest. Judge Deramid also told Stormak that she would be able to do something in the morning. So maybe he's there waiting for you outside?
Absolutely. He's there bright and early with Daisy.
You might be surprised when you get up to the courthouse to see the rest of your party just sauntering on out the front door.
Well, good morning!
And he lets go of Daisy. Of course, she runs to Flora.
Oh, yeah. Pounce, lick attack.
Oh, good morning!
Just so it doesn't come back to bite me in the ass later. Did they, like, take our possessions? Did Stormak take everything? Mostly I'm just trying to figure out where my spell book would be.
Oh, yeah, Stormak took all the goods.
It's in Stormak's hand, and it's the first thing that he hands back to you.
Clutches it.
I'm glad they didn't donate them to the cause.
Yeah, they donated all your stuff to the Temple of Torak. Yeah, he
upended his backpack with all of our shit.
Here, give it all to the families. I'm leaving this place. Like, oh no, my shit.
Do you know anyone who could use a small plus one lance?
No. No, you don't. Nobody uses those. It's been established.
No, Stormag immediately hands everyone back their things.
Zeke steps out into the morning light, looks around, looks kind of down. He takes his sword back and kind of looks at the hilt, and it says property of the Lepidstad Guard on the end of it with a little serial number.
Oh my god.
Kind of looks at that and puts it back in its sheath and looks around. He says, well, I got a bunch of cleaning to do my place. I assume you guys know where it is. I think you'll find me there. Ain't got no job, and, well, good seeing you.
Wait, Zeke, don't go. Not yet, at least.
Well, why not? I mean,
well, we're kind of a team.
He looks at Flora and Sidriel.
Aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, no offense, what else are you gonna do?
Well, I mean, I was planning on putting my life together and figuring something out. I mean, usually teams got stuff to do, and I don't really got anything to do. What are you guys doing?
Now, you do know that you're supposed to meet Judge Dermid at like 11 o'clock at the Busty Walrus.
Oh, shit.
To get paid.
Where is the Busty Walrus?
Where isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Heyo.
I don't. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. Got to be on the river somewhere, right?
Well, yeah, we'll say it's up in the northeast part of town near the water.
That makes the most sense.
Well, I mean, Stolmac, you make a good point. I guess we should at least go see what the judge has to say, and I'm probably going to be living on that platinum for a little while till I go back to swinging a hammer.
Yes, hammers. He smiles and looks off into the morning sunrise.
Yes, 11 a.m. Well, can I help you with something at your home? Been meaning to talk to you about something about your home. Flora, Sidriel, I'll see you at 11.
Well, sure, I could use a hand, and we're going to need some more whiskey, though. Pretty suspect of that bottle that I left there. Got me into a lot of trouble last time. Got us all into a lot of trouble. Time for a drink.
Perhaps after the walrus.
Oh no, my friend. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, like my grandma always said.
How is your grandmother?
Dead.
He kind of raises an eyebrow.
I will saunter off in that direction, stop at a liquor store.
I'll go with you.
I'll meet you guys there.
All right. So Stormac and Zeke go to Zeke's house. What about Sidriel and Flora?
Sid's gonna head back to Oslin's and go over his spell book and prep some spells and think about what a naughty boy he's been.
No. Yeah, and Flora's like, you know what? I'll catch up with you guys at the Walrus. I got a thing I want to do. But I'll see you there.
Right. Flora is suspect as fuck.
It's not suspect. I just got a thing I want to do.
She's got a thing.
It's a little thing.
Maybe I'm going to go find another small weapon, because it seems like it takes me weeks to find one.
All right.
Oh, speaking of, did you ever give me that axe? Yes. Yes, you did.
That small cursed hand axe.
It's not cursed. Shut up. I refuse to allow it.
So, Sidriel goes to prep spells. Flora goes probably to do a drug deal or something.
Hey, that's my game.
Yep.
And Zeke and Stormac, what does it look like over at Zeke's house after they get a bottle of whiskey and head over there?
Well, we could only find a small keg, so Zeke's walking down the street, tap open, holding a small keg up there. I'm thinking like, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than a rugby ball. Football for you Americans. Shows up to the door. Door still wide open. There's probably a couple of cats in the pantry. Walks in. He's like, Scram. Get out of here. Get out of here.
I thought we shut that door. Stormac walks in with you.
You'd be amazed what cats can do, man. These cats around here will find their way into any hole you can find. Welcome to Casa Kane.
What does Casa mean? What language is that?
It's ancient something. I don't know. It's a proverbial saying of Leopardstadt. It's hard to describe. I'm not exactly sure where it came from, but, you know, it's a ram.
Well, quite a home you have here. What's in that room back there? And he points at the room with all the drugs.
Wait. Oh, that's my drug room. Sorry, evidence locker. I mean...
Zermak looks at you, like, does a double take.
No, in all reality, he's like, wait, that room? You went into that room?
Did I say I went in there? I'm asking you what's in there.
He kind of like looks down and he's like, well, I'm not proud of it, but sometimes a man of the law has to step outside the law for the benefit of the people in his town. Do you know anything about Pesh?
I might, John. What, or Surratt, what knowledge might that be?
I have no idea. Local, maybe?
Yeah, you could give me a knowledge local.
14.
Yeah, you've probably heard of it as, like, an illegal substance. A drug. Probably don't know much about its effects, though.
Okay. Stormax says, I've heard that name, but I know nothing of it. I know that it is illegal substance in multiple nations, including my own.
Yeah, well, you know, all legal things, they get that way via superstition. Sometimes people just don't understand that they originally came from medicines. It's better for me to just show you. And he walks out the front door.
He'll join you.
And they head south, southeast. Cut to someone else.
All right.
The camera desperately searches for Flora, doesn't find her.
Yeah, it goes down a couple streets. looks around. It'll cut to Auslan's. Sid, you get there, and... Auslan's sitting on the porch, smoking a tobacco pipe, rocking chair style. Like, oh, Sid, my boy. Where is everyone else?
Laura said she had to go do a thing. Didn't really give much detail, then disappeared, so... I guess make of that what you will. I don't know, Stormac and Zeke are off doing something. I'm gonna go to my room. It's been a day.
Do you want to talk about it?
Not in the least.
Very well. You're welcome. As always.
And he'll kind of like kick at the door and it opens. A couple puppies come out and try to hop up on you for licks.
Settle pet the puppies.
Yeah, he will.
He's an asshole, not a monster.
Does it make you feel better? I bet it makes you feel better.
Yes, but in the way that he doesn't want to feel better, so it makes him feel worse.
No. The next time we see Sid, he's going to have like 4 puppies on the bed with him.
So Sid retires to his bedroom. Maybe a puppy or two follow him in there, if he lets them. And we'll cut back to Zeke and Stormac walking down a street in perhaps a less fortunate part of town.
Yeah, I imagine they're kind of cruising down. The real estate is obviously getting more dilapidated. There are empty buildings. People are not looking as good. There is definitely more, trash and refuse that is piled up and is not being dealt with around. And Zeke kind of like pops into like an open doorway that kind of just has a sheet over it. There's like not a door, you know what I mean?
I know.
He pops through the door. There's like a human woman dressed in white. You can tell that it's a nurse's robes or nurse's dress, but there's definitely stains and it looks like she's overworked. Pops in and says, hey, Mary Beth, how they doing in here?
Hi, Zeke. It's been better. You know, supplies are low.
If you look around, there's a bunch of people laying in cots with different ailments on them, like tons of cots in the dark, you know, dimly lit, few candles. He looks over at Stormac and he says, you know, before Pesh was an illegal substance, it helped people in need. Sometimes these folk are too unfortunate to afford their medicines, and you know, I may have abused my position of power, but only for the good of these unfortunate folk. He'll look over at Mary Beth and say, I got another load for you. Just gotta wait till nightfall to get it over here. I don't have the cover of law anymore, so we're gonna have to find some other way.
Whatever's necessary, I can't tell you how big a help it's been. You've lightened the suffering for a lot of people.
Well, we best be getting to that meeting.
And, yeah, she goes back to tending to wounded people and sick people, and she just, like, mouths, like, thank you so much to you before you leave. And, like, she looks very grateful and stressed out.
Stormac is just quiet and watching all of this, and he finds 25 more gold on his person and just like hides it somewhere that was like where she was sitting or somewhere that she would immediately find it.
Aw, what a philanthropist.
Yeah, you're real generous with other people's money.
It's all mine.
That's his money.
Was that 100, the 100 platinum the group's pay?
No, you each get 100 platinum. He only got his.
Hot shit, never mind. Okay.
Hot shit. Everyone, just keep handing everyone else's money out.
Wes is sitting over there all sour, thinking I'm giving away his money.
Just passing that shit out.
You giving away our weapons, all your possessions, and my money.
Yeah, no, you are to meet at the Busty Walrus in order to get paid, in fact.
Yeah, Stormac catches up with Zeke and just is just taking in the city. Yeah, he's never been in this part of town before.
Yeah, it's rough. There's a lot of homeless people and wounded, sick people in the street. And this poor part of town, a lot of people are not so well off.
It's hard, Stormac. I grew up in this town. It's hard to see it fall apart. This used to be a bustling community. It's sad, really.
What happened?
Oh, man, economic hardship happens to every town, but modern economy is just moving the wealth up the chain, and it never seems to fall back down. These people are left out here like this is despicable. I tried to do the best I could, but there's only so much one can do.
Stormac looks across our shoulders. We're walking side by side, and he looks up at Zeke, and he's nodding his head and frowning thoughtfully. He says,
you're a good man, Ezekiel Kane, former constable.
You're a good man too, Stormac. I appreciate that.
Stormac nods his head and looks forward as we walk through town.
And perhaps we will cut to 11 o'clock at the Busty Walrus. I imagine Sidriel will be meeting them there.
Yeah, he's going to the meeting.
Yeah, maybe you run into each other outside of the Walrus. Everyone except Flora.
Where is Flora?
A random townsfolk's like, I don't fucking know.
It's like, talking to me? I don't know, she was supposed to be here.
She said she had to go do a thing, but didn't really give much detail.
Well.
How are you, Sidriel? How are you doing, friend?
I've been better. Still kind of working through some stuff, I suppose.
Stormak nods. Stormak reaches out and pats Sidriel on the shoulder and says,
"You're a good man, Sidriel."
Looks at Zeke, like, kind of conspiring. He says,
"You've done many good things."
Yeah, I definitely know never to cross you twice. Definitely the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
Stormak kind of winces at that.
I mean, I didn't want to hurt anybody, but a lot of people have been trying to kill us lately, is all I'm saying.
That's fair. You're a good man, Sidriel. Definitely don't let that weigh on your heart. I see the good in you, too.
What are we here for, anyway?
The judge has your wages, great investigator and barrister, Sidriel Azenray.
And he smiles and gestures towards the front door of the Busty Walrus.
And that moment you hear a voice say, "Seek! Is that you? Oh, hey! Hi!" And you look and it is Goody.
Hey, Goody, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. Sorry I bailed the other day. I don't really feel comfortable in a courthouse, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I didn't know what I was doing up there either, but hey, it paid off. I mean, for a second.
Did you ever figure out who that fuck was that kidnapped us?
Unfortunately, I did. Problem is finding out who he isn't.
I don't follow. How about we talk about it over a drink?
Alright. He looks real close at Goody. He gives him the fry squint eyes. Is there a way to tell, like, off the bat, if someone's being shifty? If it could potentially be Vorkstag? If you killed Goody, John, I'm gonna be very upset.
Yeah, shit's gonna...
So I think it would be a perception check versus a disguise check.
Okay, perception. I get, okay. Perception plus 8. Plus a d20, plus a d6, because of expanded inspiration. Gotta love that shit.
Well, plus a familiarity modifier. How familiar are you with Goody?
That's true. I reach out.
Would you say you recognize them on sight? They're friends or associates, close friends, or are you intimate?
Yeah, you get a big bonus for those.
Oh.
I'd say you're either close friends or associates.
Close friends, man. This is my partner in crime. Literally.
Yeah. So you get a plus 8 then.
Okay, so that's a plus 16 to this roll. I reach out and expect to do the synchronized handshake that we always do. Does he do it?
What's your roll?
Oh, shit. You want me to tell you? It's not great. So that's 7 plus what? 16 is 23?
All right. He reaches out and does your close friend handshake.
Oh, that's great.
And you eye him down. His skin seems to be attached to his bones.
Yeah, well, Goody.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, well, we got some catching up to do, my friend. I got this meeting real quick, and let's chat afterwards. Or you know what, just step in here, and it'll be fine.
I'll go to the bar and have a drink, and you can meet up with me when you're done.
That sounds great.
And he does so. When you enter, the Busty Walrus is a kind of grungy place. You see a lot of drunks and rowdy dock folk doing playing gambling games, and it's a little grungy and rowdy in here. But you see off in the corner, Judge Deramid wearing a long cloak with the hood down, sitting alone at a table.
Seems odd she'd choose this place, but all right. I approach.
Thank you for meeting me. I mean, please have a seat. And I apologize for the unsavory location, but I had to choose somewhere I would not be expected at.
I always had you for a judge of the people.
Quite so. And where is your friend, Flora, is it?
We're expecting her, shortly. He doesn't smile. It's not a joke.
Should we wait? Shortly.
It's not a joke. It's not funny. It's not. Everybody shut up.
Is that a short joke?
Rude. I mean, I'm into it.
No laughing.
We've moved on.
It's funny. We've moved on. Yeah, it's catching on. You guys said it wouldn't, but it is.
I am greatly satisfied and impressed with your work. Giving Tim a fair trial and investigating these crimes. And even though we did not put the actual perpetrator behind bars, you have found the at least who was actually responsible for these horrible things.
The true criminal.
This Vorkstag, as you put it, is no doubt still at large, perhaps still in the city. But, nevertheless, I have promised you a payment for a job that you have completed, and very well at that.
So Judge Derriman pulls out three small chests from a sort of large satchel that she has under her cloak and places them on the table. And she will scoot one towards Sidriel, one towards Zeke, and she'll say,
this one would be for your friend Flora. If she does not show, perhaps I could trust you to deliver it to her.
Of course.
I mean, at least we could take it home for her, right, Sidriel? And she could show up to a paycheck. I mean, that's always nice.
Yeah, just sort in her room.
They'll just throw it in her room. There's fucking platinum all over.
Not like people just up and leave like every now and again.
Yeah, it is pretty odd, I mean.
You may have noticed that of all the crimes the beast... I'm sorry, Tim... was being charged for, the one crime that he was caught red-handed committing, and the entire reason he was apprehended in the first place was not part of these proceedings. His breaking and entering into the university and the theft of some relic. I believe it was called the Sea Sage Effigy. I am still quite concerned with this. Did you find anything out about this event?
It was like a year ago.
Yeah.
We never investigated that event because he was caught there. I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was the one doing the trespassing. I mean,
We did a little bit because we went and we talked to some professor or something there, and Sid got real snarky with him because he didn't know the history of an item or something.
Yeah, he didn't know what archaeology was or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that one episode where Sid got snarky. Thanks, that helps narrow it down.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, be real specific with it.
That helps.
What you do know is that the beast claimed, that Tim claimed, to have zero memory of that happening. Last thing he remembered was frolicking along in the swamp, and then he blinked, and he was in the university post-theft, and that the statuette that he apparently had stolen was nowhere to be found. There was evidence of a window being opened on the upper level of that room, and there was evidence of Tim jumping down from that window ledge and smashing into the ground.
Well, Judge, I mean, from the best of all knowledge, it seems like Tim may have had at least some type of co-conspirator, or he was under the influence of powerful magic. Still yet to be determined.
Now, as you know, I was expecting your arrival here, thanks to our mutual beloved friend, Petros. And his untimely end, as far as I'm concerned, is greatly entwined with his interest in the Whispering Way. I just can't shake the feeling that they had something to do with this. Petros was very cryptic in many of his letters to me, but he was on to something big. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling this is not where this Trail of Chaos ends.
Well, how do you mean? I don't really have the protection of law behind me anymore. What are we to do?
Where does it lead?
Well, I mean, we had already been actually tracking the Whispering Way before we got swept up in this whole trial debacle.
You were tracking them?
We encountered some weird guy in Ravengrow, and then under a monastery between Ravengrow and here, they were harvesting obsidian?
No, it wasn't obsidian. It was, what was it?
Onyx.
It was onyx.
Onyx. Onyx.
I don't think I have to tell you how troubling that sounds.
In the ledger we submitted during the trial, a name came up that is the same name that, Lorimer's corpse told us about?
Or his spirit.
Yeah, maybe that's nice. Oh, yeah, I guess it was a spirit, so it wasn't. We also encountered Zombie Lorimer, mm-hmm. So.
We've seen him in several forms.
You were able to speak with Lorimer beyond the afterlife.
We contacted him through a spirit board.
Intriguing. And this name was written as purchasing bodies from this Vorkstag fellow.
Quite a few, if I recall.
This is very troubling. Harvesting onyx and corpses.
Oh, shit, I didn't even put that together.
It would appear as though someone were trying to create an army of sorts.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But to what end? Do you have any idea where Tim has gone?
He said he was going to go see his dad. Whatever that means.
Perhaps this is the person that created him.
Well, duh.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
It could be the person that raised him.
Yeah. I mean, it probably wasn't the person that birthed him or seeded him.
Perhaps it's the person that created him. Yeah, what the fuck? Sorry.
I was just thinking that we need to use that.
Man, we should have been using that spirit board more often.
You still have it. You get one a day.
Well, I'm going to perhaps look into who this creator might be. If the Whispering Way had some contact or control over Tim, perhaps he might be able to shed some light on something. For now, I suggest you take some time to yourselves and revel in your success in gaining his freedom and saving his life, albeit at some expense. She looks at Sid.
It'll just look away down at the floor.
If you don't mind me asking, Judge, why are we out?
Well, let's just say I have some powerful contacts.
She winks at Zeke.
I have terrible astigmatism.
She's like, hey, fuck it.
And that's why she winked.
Some dry tears like puff out of her eye, like
trying to see.
I'm going to contact some of these acquaintances, and perhaps I can learn some more of where it is Tim came from. I will be in contact with you if, and no pressure, but if you would like to look into this more for Lorimer, I would very much like to facilitate finding the man that killed him, and perhaps putting a stop to whatever it is he stumbled across and gave his life for. It was no mistake that he sent you here to help me. Lorimer had a way of foreseeing things.
Stormak looks at Sidriel.
Yeah. Lorimer, Kendra, and Sidriel were all divination wizards. I will be in touch. I will know where to find you. And she throws her cloak in a mysterious fashion and gets up and leaves.
Into the night. Or into the 11 o'clock in the morning at a bar.
Disappears in a puff of smoke.
Now, I would like to use one of my hero cards.
One of yours?
Have you ever done this before, John?
A what?
No.
Yeah. I've done this once before.
You're not allowed.
At the end of book one, you all receive the hidden truth.
The hidden truth.
Oh.
That's cool.
This is a party hero card.
Party!
This specific card can be played to give the PCs an automatic success on any one diplomacy check to gather information or knowledge check.
Oh, shit. Well, that's going to come in handy. All right, Meg, write that down and keep it in the thing.
So?
I don't know. The thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Why is that my job?
Because you're loot master.
Yeah. The bag.
I mean, it doesn't have to go in the bag, but...
You want it in the bag. I get it.
And yeah, she leaves. Flora is still nowhere to be found.
It's not like we're really looking for her.
Yeah, no one cares.
Goody comes over to the table. He's like, who is that mysterious lady you're talking to there?
Pardon me, Sir Halfling. We met the other day. I'm Stormak. You are Goody Goodleaf?
Ah, yes, it was Snorbag, was it?
No, sir, I just...
I know, sir. Oh, yes, I remember you. Yeah, we had a nice beer together. You're friends with Zeke here.
Yes, and this is our other friend, Sidriel.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, I'm sure. He puts a hand out to a shake.
Sidriel's kind of give him a wave and lean back in his chair.
Oh, all right, then.
Hey, Goody.
I noticed none of you have a drink in your hand.
I notice you have three.
Stormax smiles. It's obviously a joke.
Four. Maybe he does have four drinks.
Yeah, he put his left hand was behind his back. And he's got three beers in him. He's got one in his right hand, four. Three in his left. He's like, oh, good eye. Here, have a drink with me. He pulls a chair out, flips it around, and like sits on it, Riker style.
Nice. Wait, a halfling does that?
Yeah, it's really awkward.
It's a very small chair.
Doing the
he brought it himself.
Climb the chair to do it.
yeah, he has to do like a somersault over it to do the Riker thing.
Front
so
flip, yeah.
we cheers. Tall mugs of ale and Stormak says, blowing foam off of his mustache,
we have a good friend named Flora Goodleaf.
He takes another pull off of his mug.
Flora. Goodleaf. You don't say.
I do.
Now, well, that's a bit odd. You know, I have never met another halfling with my last name. And? No, it couldn't be. I'd like to meet her. Where's she at?
Well, she's expected. Anytime now. He looks at the door.
He looks too.
Flora walks in the door.
All right, then. Well.
You both stare at the door.
Perhaps we better have another round.
Hold on. Goody, before you do that, got some serious shit to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Lay it on me.
Gotta keep your wits about you. He does the classic thing where he leans in and then maybe everybody else leans in except for Sid, who's, you know, casually doing the John Travolta thing. Leaning back in his chair, looking cool.
Leaning
wait,
out.
Wait, wait, wait. John Travolta does look cool, but that's not the patented John Travolta thing. You're going to mess up my meme I'm trying to develop here.
That's like...
Oh.
that's like the Sheriff Collar thing, if anything.
Yeah, he's doing the Sheriff Collar thing. Who we would describe as Woody Harrelson from True Detective, maybe.
Okay. Okay, sure. We should have done that a long time ago.
Well, we've moved on.
I always saw him as more of a skinny John Wayne.
But... Oh, yeah, okay, skinny John Wayne. Yeah, he does the John Wayne thing. God, why didn't I think of that? Ah. Pulls out a cigar and then eats half of it as he's smoking it, which I never understood, but okay.
The anticipation is killing me, Zeke.
Sorry, the lights get a little dimmer.
Zeke's too busy playing Sidriel over here.
I regale him with the tale of who captured us and what we kind of went
Fuck
through
me.
In like a hushed voice and the cabinet of skins.
Good gods.
Yeah, no, she got around.
Yeah, he's like tries to hold in some puke.
And then he comes down to it and he says, all right, whoever in, Caleb Hess gave me the greatest idea ever. If you ever need to know who, he looks around. Does he see anybody who's like looking at us in every direction? Is anybody like listening to our conversation like at all?
It doesn't appear so.
Doesn't appear so.
I'm assuming you rolled a 1 on your perception check.
Do you want me to roll or it? No.
No, you don't. You don't notice anybody looking or listening.
All right. The code word is pineapple.
Pineapple. Upright or upside down?
That is unimportant.
Okay.
You ever worried that someone has stolen our skin? The code word is pineapple.
He looks at the rest of you.
That's our thing now, eh? All right. Well, pineapple it is.
Don't all speak at once.
Nobody answers him.
Stormac raises an eyebrow and drinks his beer.
Poor Goody.
Well, and did you tell him you got fired and stuff too?
He's no longer wearing his tabard.
Yes, I, it's true. Probably led with that.
So what you gonna do with yourself now, Zeke?
You know, Goody, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to move back in with my parents and till the field, swing the hammer, be out in the sunshine, maybe... Maybe it's a blessing, not a curse. Hard to say.
They weren't exactly very nice to you, were they?
I mean, nah, but I don't know what I'm going to do else.
Well, I don't know. I finally found a buyer for that pineapple.
Now you're crossing the wires, man.
No, you're not using it right, first off, And Stormac's cool.
Stormac smiles and nods.
For
like
that
cool
stuff
guy.
I had. And, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do either. I don't have a lot of connections here. I thought maybe I'd try and find my parents as well. As you know, it's been quite some time since I've seen them or known where they were at all. But with enough gold,
You can do just about anything in this world, isn't that right?
Ain't that right?
Do you know where your parents are, Mr. Goodleaf?
Well, no, not exactly. I've got some friends that might be able to find out, though. Not without a pretty penny, though. That's kind of the main reason I've been seeking more untoward ways of making money.
To monetize such information of the location of one's own family seems shameful.
Well, it's not that they know and they're keeping it from me. More so that they've got the marketable skills to be able to find the information. You get my drift?
I do. And Zeke, where are your parents?
My parents live right outside of town. Teeny farm. Pretty nice out there, to be honest. Despite living outside the walls. It's crazy shit out there, man.
Oh, the land's as dangerous as it's ever been. You know, I heard that the orcs have been raiding towns and travelers down south. I haven't heard about that happening in quite some time. Coming down from the holds of Belkson.
Man, maybe that militia should get on down there and keep us safe. I mean, it seems like they'd be doing better down there than they were up here. He laughs and takes a sip out of his beer.
Oh, I'm sure they'll just be looking out for the wealthy of Leopardstad, if anything. Well, how about another round? He, waves his hand around to the waitress that's walking by, assuming that you all want one.
After another beer, I'll kind of look over at Sidriel and say, Sid, there was a lot of good stuff in that book. I recognize your arcane ability, and you think you can make any heads or tails of an alchemist book?
I did quite a bit of study back home in my parents' shop, so I might be able to figure out heads from tails.
Oh, man, there's some stuff in there that I think you'd like. I mean, that guy was all over the place. We got this, spider climb, bull strength. Not that you necessarily need some of these, but I saw that you had a few. Maybe we could do a trade if you're into something like that.
Suppose we could compare notes.
Yeah, well, hot damn.
That's what a team does.
Right. Hot damn.
That's what a team does. Exactly.
Oh, you're a team now, are ya? Well, isn't that adorable? Here's to new friends. He puts his mug up.
The only thing adorable here is you. He'll scruffle his hair.
Nobody takes it. Come on.
Oh.
Yeah. We cheers him.
Now, Zeke, I can't imagine you'll be going back to sleep in your house after that thing. I knows where you live. That sounds awful. Are you going to be staying there still?
Well, can't rightly burn it down.
I might if I were you.
It being property of the Leopardstad god and all, but, I want to, Goody, don't get me wrong. But, I'll clear it out.
Are they going to take that from you as well?
Yeah, it took everything from me, but, I'm definitely not giving this back. Pats his rapier.
It's a fine blade.
Just gonna have to grind off that serial number and hope no one ever checks.
Well, you know, when I'm afraid of what goes bump in the night and, especially not feeling safe where I'm sleeping, I find building a fort with your good friends is the best way to go.
Are you serious?
Have you ever done that?
Oh my god. How drunk are you, Goody?
Are you a halfling or actually a child?
A pillow.
Right, these are human-sized beers here. Now, don't get me wrong. And says Sid, who participated along with Stormak in building a fort to feel safe from ghosts.
Yeah, Stormak's just giving pillow squinty, fort. Suspicious eyes.
That was a tactical
this conversation. Yeah, and he's just looking at Goody and just, imagining him with longer hair and a lance, and he's like, huh, and he's just thinking real hard.
I'm dead interested in meeting your friend that you say has me. Same last name as well. She's a halfling as well.
Do you know a Flora Goodleaf?
I had a sister once with that name. And it is quite odd having a hearing my surname out and about. I haven't heard that before. I'm quite interested to meet her. And I must say, a bit of where I'm coming from is that, you know that Vorkstag fella, he kidnapped me as well. And I, especially hearing everything you've just told me about him and, or her, or it, or oh god. I'm not quite feeling safe myself. Perhaps we could, hang out.
Really, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, he looks nervous and like scared and shy about it. But he's like, yeah, he's like wringing his hands. Like, perhaps we could hang out.
Well, that's good because I need some help moving the other half of that payload down to the clinic later tonight under the cover of darkness. Can't really just be.
Did you get a good price for that?
Goody. You know I give that shit away for free.
Oh, you're a better man than I. Good man. Great man you are.
All right, beer
you're
talking
kind of
again.
Man.
Oh my god, the beer's talking again. All right.
That's real good.
All right.
While the two of them are talking, Stormak kind of looks at Sidriel and catches his eye and just shakes his head just slightly and makes a face as if to say, don't worry. We don't need to make a pillow fort with this stranger that we just met.
just kind of looks at me. Wasn't gonna.
Tactical fort.
Yeah, Stormak and Sid don't even need to exchange words. They just Stormak just nods in agreement.
But he is actually asking if he can like come stay with you tonight. Not just because he wants to wait for Flora to come around, but he's also scared of the skin stealer.
I mean, yeah.
And so you can feel free to deny him that.
And, you know,
yeah.
Let him succumb to his fate.
Him and Sid can hang out in a fort together.
I mean,
no one's denying them that.
It's true. I mean, I'm down. That's my buddy.
No, I bet you'll build a... If we have one or two more rounds, I bet you'll build a blanket fort with me.
Good ad. I think...
I think what he's getting at is they don't know where Oslin's house is.
I think what he's getting at is he's stalling for time.
And you two do.
But it is about noon at this point. Is there anything else you would like to do with today?
Absolutely. Got stuff to do.
What is that?
Well, if we're done with this scene, Stormak would invite Sidriel to take Stormak... shopping for a longbow.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, fancy.
Okay. So you want to do some shopping?
I would go back and clean up my house. That's the only thing I would do.
Right on. And Goody would probably stick with you, Zeke, and if you allow it, he'd help you clean up your house and stuff. He'd be nervously looking at the door every 5 minutes, like thinking that Olga... or Vorkstag, or some monster is going to come through it. He's like...
Or Flora.
Yeah?
She's expected.
That's true. What to expect when you're expected?
I'm telling you, Goody, the only people we can trust in this world are ourselves. It's a cold reality now.
Don't I know it.
Pass me the mini jug.
Oh, this thing is great! It's bigger than me!
Well... I think that's a whiskey talking, but it's close.
There's two of them. No. Okay, so, why don't we say that you can all do all the shopping you like today with the rest of this day. Sid and Stormak go shopping for a longbow. Stormak trusts in Sidriel's expertise and judgment on the subject, I imagine.
Yes.
Any dialogue there, or anything specific you want to cover, or is it cool to breeze past?
I think it's a musical montage without dialogue, and we see them in several bow shops. Stormac tests out a couple, and some shopkeeper shows him the composite longbows, and Stormac has to put a little more muscle into it.
Ooh, he's flexing.
We're just two best friends and we're buying a bow. Two best friends, don't you know?
Perfect.
I love it. It's beautiful. I await the full release.
Yeah, can you please have your band perform that and we'll put it in the episode?
Yeah, it's...
Yep.
I'd like to get a copy of the single.
I feel like I have the power. I feel like I have the power to do this.
Yeah, for real.
You'll probably have to write it in the Door to the North and see if you can get the rights to it.
Yeah.
Jack Black.
I don't think you need the rights if you do it with mouth guitar. So, I think you're okay.
So, I will say, over the next week, you guys can specify what your shopping was. And you spend the day shopping. And perhaps you all end up at Oslin's house. Give me... I gotta pee really bad. I'll be right back. We're almost done. I love you.
He's stuck in Goody.
I love you.
It's a terrible thing that he gets. Sometimes I've been with him at a music festival, and he was stuck in Goody for 4 fucking days. Like, anytime anybody talked to him, he's like, "Oh, but no." And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like a animated, very...
That's so embarrassing.
uses his hands a lot, jumps up and down, is like talking in this like leprechaun accent. I'm like, oh my God, John, people are looking at you like they're crazy. You're talking to a bunch of fried out people, like they are not into this. Like, and he doesn't understand it. I understand it. I'm like, he's not usually like so this. Funny. People are like, yeah, I bet.
Talking
to
I bet. I was talking about you getting stuck as Goody at a music festival for 4 days.
Oh yeah, no, that happens. I've also been like a 14th century British sea captain.
Yeah, that was the next year.
These sound like perfectly rational things.
And so, after a long day of shopping montages and cleaning montages and day drinking and paranoia.
Day drinking.
Those are even funnier.
Yeah. You end up back at Oslin's and it's just after dusk. The sky is darkening and Oslin's got a fire going and he's stoked to meet Goody. And they're getting along nice and, like, telling stories. And, Oslin retires pretty early because Goody got him drunk, probably.
Goody got him.
And Goody is, he's drinking and he's, you know, he's trying to get y'all to join in with him. Does anybody, like, drink along with him through the day and night?
Oh, yeah. Zeke just lost his job. At least Zeke. Sure.
Stormac, are you drunk? Cedriel?
No, Stormac had 2 beers at lunch and then went shopping throughout the afternoon. And now that we're back at Oslin's, maybe he'll join in for another beer or two. Or whatever we're drinking.
Yeah, he's a dwarf. It's like fucking Monday afternoon.
Nah, Stormac's actually not that big of a drinker, really. We've seen him in his cups, but... But it's not a regular thing.
Maybe that's racist of me to assume that all dwarves can hold their liquor.
He cried when he got drunk.
Oh no, he sure can hold it, but that doesn't mean that he's just always drinking.
This is a fair point.
Well, at least Zeke and Goody are drunk. And Oslin retires. He's drunk.
How about Sid?
Sid is probably in his room. The shopping that he did in addition to getting your bow will probably be purchasing some spells. So he'll probably be hanging out doing some spellbook maintenance.
And he's got a whole ass spellbook too, like a new one.
A whole ass spellbook.
Yeah. So he is occupied. Also, Sid's just not a big drinker.
So maybe it's Stormak, Zeke, and Goody are left down in the living room next to a blazing fire. A few puppies hanging out. Maybe they're drunk too, who knows?
Oh my god.
Zeke's passed out in a recliner with two puppies on him. Totally blissed out.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Zeke's passed out and Stormak and Goody are shooting the shit.
Where is that Flora? He looks at the door.
And the doorknob starts to jiggle and move and shake as though somebody's trying to force their way in.
That must be her now. And Stormak heads to the door.
You open it?
Sure.
You open the door. And
it's a boule.
Yeah.
Land shark.
Well, maybe they won't notice if I use the door.
Oh, I didn't even think of the land shark thing. That's good. And you open the door, and in the moonlight, you hear a growl.
Flora? Is that you?
And that's where we're going to leave it for the week. We're just two best friends and we're buying a bow. Two best friends, don't you know? Pew! Diddle diddle doo diddle diddle doo diddle doo diddle doo diddle doo.